بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الرضا في interest. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا متقبلا. أسأل الله العظيم رب العالمين أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى. وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد, respected brothers in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I'd like to welcome you back, inshallah, to the second session on the classes of the fiqh of business from the book Bulugh al-Maram, Min Adillat al-Ahkam, Attainment of the Objective from the Evidences of the Ordainments by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. And alhamdulillah, we're continuing in the commentary of our Shaykh Atiyah Muhammad Salim from Masjid Nabawi, who is basing his lectures on the knowledge passed on from us, from the ulama, going back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the previous lesson, we began the subject of the riba, and we covered the hadith regarding the six categories of riba, or the six categories of wealth that has riba in it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described for us the prohibition of exchanging the wealth within one category unless it is the same weight for the same weight and hand in hand. And if they are from different categories of wealth, then we can exchange them of different amounts, but they have to be hand in hand. So everybody remember the hadith from last time? Inshallah, I'll read it again to refresh our memory, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, on the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do not sell gold for gold, or gold for gold, silver for silver, wheat for wheat, barley for barley, dates for dates, salt for salt, the same quantity for the same quantity, equal for equal, hand in hand. If these classes differ, sell as you like, as long as the payment is made on the spot. Reported by Imam Muslim. So here in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned six types of wealth. Gold for gold. And we mentioned last time that any two types of gold, whether they're used gold or new gold, mixed with some impurities or pure fashioned gold or raw gold in the form of nuggets, any two kinds of gold, if they are being exchanged with each other, they have to be the exact same weight. If there's any increase or decrease in the exchange, then this is riba. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ, he forbade in very, very strong terms. The Prophet ﷺ, he forbade the riba in these by increasing one side of the scale or the other. So for example, if somebody, he goes to a goldsmith and they have some used gold and they want to get some new gold. So the goldsmith says, give me 2 kilograms of your used gold and I'll give you 1 kilogram of my new gold. Is this allowed? This is riba. This is exactly what riba is. If the goldsmith, he says, I will give you 1 kilogram of gold today, and you bring me 1.5 kilograms of gold next week. Or if you bring me a kilogram of your gold next week. Is this allowed?
No.
The Prophet said, what did he say? Hand in hand. It has to be a cash transaction. Whenever exchanging two types of wealth that are, when you're exchanging gold for gold, silver for silver, wheat for wheat, barley for barley, dates for dates, salt for salt, it has to be equal quantities, and it has to be a cash exchange, hand in hand. And this is what, and if it's anything different than this, if there's an increase or decrease on one type or the other, this is riba. And if there's a delay in the exchange, for example, I will give you 1 kilogram of gold today, you give me 1 kilogram of gold, of your gold next week, this is also a type of riba. This is also a type of riba. Now, is that clear from last time? The definition of riba, what is the riba? Inshallah ta'ala. Okay, so today inshallah, let's go together to the next hadith, which will actually explain, will show us some of the insight of the scholars in deriving the wisdom behind the prohibition of riba in these categories. And is it limited only to these six categories, the riba? The prohibition of riba, which has a big punishment, of course, we talked about the great punishment of riba. It's one of the kaba'ir, the major sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said that person who engages in riba is worse than a man. The least form of riba is worse than a man marrying his own mother. So we mentioned this previously. So is it, we'll read the next hadith and we'll look at what the scholars have said regarding these six categories and what is the wisdom why riba is prohibited in these six categories. And then is there any other types of food or other types of metals, for example, that also have riba in them, inshallah ta'ala. This is what we'll be in the ta'ala discuss today. So let's read the hadith together, inshallah. I'll read the English for brevity, inshallah. Narrated Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, gold is to be paid for with gold, both being equal weight and of same quantity. Silver is to be paid for with silver, both being equal weight and of same quantity. If anyone gives more or asks for more of it, it is then usury. Reported by Imam Muslim. Okay, so here, this hadith, it reiterates the prohibition of exchanging gold for more gold, more than what is being given, or silver for more than what is given. And the previous hadith, it mentioned the other categories. Altogether, how many categories are there of wealth that has riba in it?
Six
categories. So now the scholars, they studied and they basically tried to derive what is the reason why these six categories are mentioned. Is it only these six categories that have riba in them, or can we add other foods that are similar to them or other things that are similar to them in the category of wealth that has riba, that riba counts in it? Now first of all, we have the gold and the silver. The gold and the silver. And the scholars, they said that gold and silver, there is no other metals are, there's no analogy made with other metals. Now first of all, let's talk about the concept of making an analogy with other things. This is called qiyas. In the Islamic law, qiyas, it means making a juristic analogy from something that is well known in the ruling and applying that ruling on something that is not being mentioned in the text. This is called qiyas. So for example, we know that alcohol is prohibited, right? Alcohol, khamr, is prohibited. But what about some other kind of intoxicant? Say, marijuana, for example. Is there any text that says that marijuana is prohibited?
No.
There's no text. So how do we know that marijuana is prohibited? Yes?
Because everything it harms you is prohibited.
Everything that harms you is prohibited. Okay, but then there is a text, yes, that says that everything that harms is prohibited. But say somebody says marijuana doesn't harm you, it's good for you. It makes you relax. So what would be the response to that?
Anything that intoxicates you.
When we know that alcohol is prohibited because it intoxicates, and the marijuana, it also intoxicates. So when we know that there's something similar to alcohol, and the reason for the prohibition of alcohol is also found in it, then we apply the ruling of alcohol to that other issue or that other category. So here, when alcohol is prohibited because it intoxicates, anything else that also intoxicates takes on the same prohibition due to analogy, or juristic analogy, or qiyas. So this is a principle in the Islamic law, that when something is spoken about, and there's something else that's not mentioned, but it has the same reason that the original thing had, the same reason for prohibition, we apply the original ruling on the secondary item through analogy. And so there has to be a connection between the two things. There has to be this tie or this relationship. The relationship that's shared between the two things is the wisdom behind the original ruling, or the illa, they call it in Arabic, the illa, or the reasoning why it was prohibited. So since we know alcohol is prohibited because it intoxicates the mind, then anything else that's not mentioned, you won't find it in the Quran and Sunnah, but it also intoxicates the mind, then that, because of that connection between the two items, the ruling that is mentioned applies to the thing that is not mentioned. Is that clear? That issue that's called qiyas, and it's one of the agreed upon sources of Islamic law, one of the four sources of Islamic law. So any other drink you find, whether it's milk or honey or anything that is intoxicating, it also has the ruling of prohibition, just like alcohol does. So now we have an issue here, and that is when we have the gold and silver. We have the gold and silver. Abu Dawood al-Zahiri. Have you heard of Abu Dawood al-Zahiri? He was he founded a school of law called the Literalist School of Law. And one of the unique things about his school of law is that he doesn't use analogy. He only goes by the text. If there's no text, he doesn't use analogy. And so he says that when it comes to the riba wiyat, the things that have riba in them, he said, we only stick to these six categories that are mentioned. And there's no analogy to anything else. You know, he only sticks to the gold, silver, wheat, barley, dates and salt. Anything else, he said, no problem. You can exchange, like say for example, rice. Abu Dawood al-Zahiri, he says, go ahead, exchange 1 kilogram of rice for 2 kilograms of a different kind of rice. No problem. Because it's not mentioned in the text. And there's no analogy. His school of law, he doesn't use juristic analogy. He says only go by the text. However, the majority of scholars, which are the four madahib, the four imams, what they call the jumhur, they say there is analogy. But when it comes to certain things, like for example, gold and silver, they say gold and silver, the prohibition of riba and exchanging gold for gold and silver for silver without increase. Does this also apply to zinc, aluminum, copper? Does it apply to that? The majority of scholars, they said no, it doesn't apply. because the illa, the reasoning behind gold and silver, the riba being prohibited, is because they are the value of things. They are a currency. It's a currency that is, you know, this is how we value the of things. You say, what is this worth? We say, this much amount of gold or silver. We don't measure the value of things in silver, in copper or zinc. So the scholars say that when it comes to gold and silver, they are the only metals that have riba. If you have some copper in your house and you want to exchange it for new copper, and you want to give 2 kilograms of copper for 1 kilogram of new copper, it's no problem. This is agreed upon. Because they said the wisdom behind prohibition of riba in gold and silver is because they are the value of things. They are the currency that we value things in. And this is what societies use to buy and sell. So, we don't make an analogy to other types of metals. This is agreed upon. Okay, so now we come to the next issue, which is and the prohibition of gold and silver, the riba, is because these things are, there shouldn't be increase in them because of the unfairness of exchanging one type of gold for another. There could be some inherent unfairness. Or somebody, he says, give me 2 grams of your, 2 kilograms of your old gold, I'll give you 1 kilogram of your new gold. The person might not really know what the value of his gold is, and so there's some inherent unfairness involved. This is something we'll come to later on, inshallah. Now when it comes to the other foods, the other four categories, is wheat, barley, dates, and salt. So wheat, barley, and dates. Are other foods included with wheat, barley, and dates? Or what is the wisdom why there's no riba in these three things? What is the reason why it, I'm sorry, not there's no riba. What is the reason why there is a riba in these three types of things? What do they have in common? What does wheat, barley, and dates have in common?
They're most things that people they use to feed themselves.
That's one thing, which is that it's a food, right? It's a food. But before that, the scholars, they say there are things that are weighed, right? Usually when you have wheat, barley, and dates, you weigh a certain amount. So some scholars say that the reason why you can't have riba is because there are things that are weighed. There are things that we weigh. It's not like a chair or a car or a horse that you just sell as an item, but they're weighed. And so some of the ulama said anything that you weigh and measure, it has riba in it. So they say even rice. Don't you weigh and measure rice? So they say the wisdom behind the prohibition is the same thing. It's a weighed, something that's commonly weighed and measured. Even they said like seeds, like henna that women use to color their hair and their, they said even that has riba in it. Because it's something that you weigh. And so whenever you weigh two things and they're the same, it should be the same. Whether it's henna or whether it's barley or rice or dates, if they're the same category, you should trade it the same way. Because that's what is fair. This is the view of some of the ulama. Anything that is weighed, sold by weight, it has to be the same. Same weight. Anything that you normally weigh, this is traditionally, they would weigh foods and things like that. Nowadays, they weigh almost anything. But traditionally, you would weigh food, and so anything that you weigh, you sell by weight. They say it has to be equal for equal. Any increase will become riba. Rice, for rice, it has to be the same amount, and it has to be hand in hand. Otherwise, it's riba. This is the view of Imam Ahmad, yes.
Seems like in our place they have different kind of type of rice, so have better quality.
We're going to come to that. We're going to come to that issue about the different qualities. But briefly, how can you determine, you know, the difference in quality? Can you determine exactly you know, how, you know, the value of your good rice versus the inferior quality rice. It's very difficult to be fair in that exchange. It's not really known. So what should be done, you sell the poor quality rice for cash, and then you buy the good quality rice for cash. Because usually you know the value of things in terms of cash. But if I'm trying to exchange rice with rice, it's possible, or it's very likely, that there could be taking advantage or unfairness. There could be some unfairness involved. Somebody has poor quality rice and somebody else has very good quality rice, and that person he wants that good quality rice, the person might take advantage of him and say, give me three kilograms of your rice for 1 kilogram of mine. And the person trades it, but he doesn't know if he got a fair deal. But if he sold his rice in the market, and the market price is known for his rice, and the market price is known for the other kind of rice, then he can buy it and he knows if he paid a good price for it. And he can sell it and he knows if he got a good price for it. But if I'm exchanging my rice for your rice, do I really know the exchange rate of types of rice? It's not something that's commonly known. So this could imply a type of unfairness. And this is what Islam prohibits. This is called riba, because of the unfairness that could be involved. It says if you want to exchange rice for rice, okay, but it has to be equal for equal. Why are you decreasing your rice and only giving 1 kilogram and taking 3 kilograms of mine? What is the reason for that? You say yours is better quality, but how do we judge how much better the quality is? The way we judge that is by selling the cheap rice and buying the expensive rice at the market price. And that way everybody knows if they're paying a fair price or not. This is basically the reason behind that, inshallah. Is that clear? Is that clear, inshallah? So the next view, may Allah give us understanding, is that some scholars say anything that you weigh, it has to be equal for equal, hand in hand. That's the view of Ahmed. Some scholars, they say, what does wheat, barley, and dates have in common? They're weighed, but what else do they have in common?
Because the dates, they have the seeds inside them, their weight is going to be different.
They have seeds, but I mean barley, wheat, and rye, and dates.
Same, yeah.
Why did the Prophet mention these three things specifically? You said before food, right?
Yeah, because most of these are
types of food.
Foods, yeah.
Right? So some of the ulama said that they're things that are weighed, but they have to also be foods that are eaten. So they say no, henna or seeds that you use for planting, that doesn't count. Because the Prophet system, everything he mentions are foods, things that are eaten. So they say that if you want to make an analogy to something else, it has to be something weighed and it has to be a type of food. This is a view of also some of the ulama, maybe the Hanbali and the Hanafi school. Another view that barley, wheat, and dates, they are weighed, they're types of food, but the Prophet didn't mention like apples, oranges, grapes. He only mentioned these three things because they're stored for a long period of time. Right? You can store wheat and barley and dates for years, for more than a year. But fruit, it's not something stored. So some of the ulama, they said, if you want to apply the rule of riba, it has to be something that is weighed, it has to be a food, and it has to be something stored for a long period of time. Then, if it meets those conditions, then that has the riba in it. This is the view of Imam Malik, rahimahullah. Some of the other ulama, they said, why did the Prophet ﷺ mention these things? What is the wisdom in them? He said they're all things that have zakah in them. We have zakah on grain, right? When they harvest the grain, the barley, the wheat, the dates, they also have zakah. So they said anything that has zakah on it, it also has riba in it. It has to be traded equal for equal, hand in hand. Now, this is another view of the ulama. And the final view, another view of the scholars, they say that anything that brings a benefit, like these things to the people, it also has riba in it. So for example, you have dates. What about raisins? Are raisins similar to dates? And when people eat them, they benefit from them in the same way? So they said they include raisins in things that have riba in them. Yes?
Flour.
Flour is basically made from wheat. It's just crushed up, right? So if we look at the view of the different scholars, they say that if it's something that's weighed and it's a food and it's stored for a long period of time, it would have riba in it. So flour is a food. It's usually sold by weight and it's stored for a long period of time. So that would be included, other than Abu Dawud Bahiri. Abu Dawud Bahiri, he said it's only the exact things mentioned in Hadith. But the flour is different. They remove the shell, I think, from the seeds. And so it's not really wheat itself, but it's made from wheat, I think, right? So I think that it, depending on if the scholars, they looked at it, by analogy, they would say definitely it's included in riba. So it has to be equal for equal. And that brings up another point, which is like, some of them they mentioned, like oil. Does oil have riba in it? Like you have sunflower oil, olive oil, cottonseed oil. Would it have riba in it? Let's see. Is it something that's sold by weight or volume? Usually.
Yes.
Is it a type of food?
Yes.
You could say that. Is it something that is stored over a long period of time? It is. So they say yes. If you want to trade olive oil for olive oil, it has to be the exact same volume. 1 liter for 1 liter. Increasing one type of olive oil over the other, saying yours is less quality, I'm going to give you only half a liter, you give me 1 liter, that's riba. It has to be the same.
Sure. Yes. Like corn oil and olive oil.
Ah, very good.
So I give you like a 1 liter,
yes,
corn oil, give me like a 1 liter
of the olive oil?
Yeah.
Is there riba between different categories? Like, say, corn and olives are two different categories. Is there any riba between? No. They're allowed to increase. You're allowed to give, like, you could give me 1 kilo of, 1 liter of olive oil, I can give you 3 kilos of corn oil. Because they're from different categories. Yes, they do have riba. If I'm exchanging olive oil, it has to be the same. Corn oil for corn oil, it has to be the same. But they're different categories. Remember the hadith, the Prophet system said, if the categories are different, then they can differ in quantity. Like gold for silver, you can give more silver for less gold. It's okay. But it has to be hand in hand. It has to be immediate. If you said, give me 3 kilograms of corn oil and I'll give you 1 kilogram of olive oil tomorrow. Is that allowed? Is that hand in hand? Is that cash? No. The Prophet system said it has to be cash. Is that clear? Because that's another type of riba. Delaying till later on is also called another. That was also prohibited by the Prophet system in these categories. Inshallah ta'ala. Okay, so let me see if there's anything also to add here. Also, the scholars, they said that food for food, one of the views of the ulama is that anything that is used as a food, naam. And the ulama, they, even Imam Malik, he said anything used to prepare food. So he said use salt, so any kind of spices. If you want to trade curry powder for curry powder, same for the same. What other spices? What do they have in? pepper for pepper has to be the same. Even anything that's used to prepare food, you know that. So some of the ulama they disagreed with that because they said you can use sticks and fire to prepare the food, but there's no riba in sticks and fire. But so it's not like salt, because salt is not really a food itself, but it's used to prepare food. So some of the ulama said that anything you use to prepare food is like salt. But the response to that is salt mixes with the food. Whereas sticks, they don't mix with the food. You use it to cook the food, but it's not part of the food. So obviously there's no riba in those things in Shabbat Tala. Okay. Let's see if there's just a couple more issues here, inshallah. Okay, so that's basically the summary here. And the wisdom, again, now we get to the four imams, they say you have analogy. Right? You have the analogy. Although they said, what is the wisdom behind the prohibition? Is it weight? Is it because it's weighed? Is it because it's food and it's weighed? Is it because it's stored? They differed on that issue. But overall, they do agree that there's other things that we add to these six categories. Except Abu Dawud al-Zahiri. Now we have the issue here, which is very interesting, is why is riba prohibited? Why is it prohibited to exchange two things in different quantities of the same category? Why is that haram? Why is this such a prohibition in Islam? And the scholars, they mentioned, and we alluded to it earlier, is that if you want to trade two things from the same category, raisins for raisins, dates for dates, flour for flour, gold for gold, if they're the exact same quantity, we know that's fair. Right? Because nobody's being cheated. You're giving me a kilogram, I'm getting a kilogram. It's the same category, basically has the same benefit, you know, for the people. So that's fairness. And Islam, it prohibits unfairness in trading. Like if I buy a chair from somebody and it's worth 100 and I charge them 200, that's prohibited. It should be sold roughly near the market price. There's a little bit of variation, but overcharging is prohibited in Islam. That's called ghadan fahish. But now the issue comes up is if I'm trading, say, if I want to trade, they give an analogy that, say you want to buy a horse and you want to use clothing to buy the horse. So a person, the horse is worth 1,000 dirhams and the robe is worth 10 dirhams. So if I want to trade the robe for the horse, somebody might say, I want 200 robes for my horse. I want 300. I want 50. And so then if a person, if he buys it, he trades the robes for the horse, he might get an unfair deal. He might end up giving a lot more robes than the horse is worth. And so it would be unfair. So how does a person know if he's getting a fair deal? He says, he goes to the market, how much is my robe worth? It's worth 10. And then he goes to the market, how much is a horse worth? 1,000. So how much should he be paying? How many robes should he be giving for the horse? The horse is worth $1,000 and the robe is worth $10. So how many robes does he trade for the horse? 100. 100, right? That's how we know he got a fair deal. What if he gave 150 or 200 robes for the horse? Was that fair?
If you want to deal with a guy,
mm-hmm.
This is business. If you want to deal, I have a good horse. I want to sell like for 200, not for 100. What's the riba?
Yes. Here, when you sell, it's not called riba because horses and robes don't have riba in them, and they're different things. But it's just a regular sale. But what Islam prohibits is taking people's wealth wrongfully, taking advantage of people, overcharging somebody due to his ignorance. So there is, you know, you might think the horse might be a better quality, you can charge a little bit more. But say something is worth 100 and you find a very naive person, not you, somebody finds a naive person and he sells it for 1,000. Is that allowed in Islam? That's not business, that's exploitation. So there's a difference between buying and selling and making a fair profit. And the ulama, they agree that the market price, sometimes you get more. you can get 10%, 20%, 30% more. Some of the ulama, they made a limit to how much above the fair market price you can get and include it in profit. Some of them said 30% more than the market price is okay. Some of them said up to 50% more than the market price is part of permissible profit. But they all agree like 60% and above, but twice the market price, they all agree this is unfair. And this is called ghadan fahish in Islam, and it's prohibited. And if somebody does that, and he finds out later on that he was way overcharged, then he has a right to bring the item back and get the money refunded because he was it was an unfair trade. This is the one of the overall principles in Islamic law, is that the people should not eat each other's wealth wrongfully. They should trade it in a permissible way where there are certain limits for profiting. It shouldn't be more than what is permissible. So I hope that answers your question, brother. Did that answer your question? Yes. Sure, brother.
Given that you, you know, you're a shopkeeper, yeah?
Yes.
And you sell a product, and the going rate for the product is $1 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
So you bought it for 50 cents, or maybe 25 cents, so it's more than 50% markup.
Mm-hmm.
But the going rate in all the shops is $1. Is this considered a exploitation?
No.
No? Okay. And then on services too, you know, given... No. You know, some of the people, they provide a service.
No.
And you know the going rate would be, for example, X amount of square feet.
Mm.
It's, you know, whatever, $10. But you double it.
No.
Would it be applied to services too?
No.
Not to exceed that 50% margin? Or?
Yes. No,
but
no,
the guy agrees. He said, listen, I like the price.
He might not know. Right. You know, the issue here, it's not what you pay for it. It might be something easy for you. You know, but it's what is the going rate, the market value? Like, for example, I had a friend who worked, he fixed gas stations. And he used to charge, he used to have, the going rate for fixing something was like several thousand dollars, $5,000. But he would be able to repair it within an hour, and it cost him almost nothing to repair it. So he was asking, can I charge the $5,000 that everybody else charges? Yes, you're allowed to, because that's the going rate. It doesn't matter how much it costs you. If that's the going rate, no, what we're talking about, what the scholars mentioned is ghadan fahish, is when you go beyond the market price. If the going, say you got a piece of gold coin, and you only paid $1 for it, and then a year later it's worth $1,000. You're allowed to sell it for $1,000. But the issue is, if the market price is $1,000 and you sell it for $2,000,
yeah, read that. Yes. Way he's an electrician now.
Yes.
He comes in my house. He charges me $200 for the light just feature.
Yes.
I got another guy. He comes for $50. That's why I want to come in this point. This is agreement because I like his price. I hire. We got issue with us. We do construction. He goes to work for $10 a square feet to the stone wall. Somebody else charges $50. That's it.
What is the market, what is the going rate,
fair market value?
The fair market rate for a normal rent?
It's $50 a square feet, but nobody gives it. I'm working for me and him working for companies, they pay the union. So if you hire him, you got to pay $20 a square feet to put a piece of concrete. If you hire him, we do it for $10. So...
Okay. Depends, you know, who has what kind of overhead, you know?
That's, yeah.
And then he has a shop, he doesn't. He can do his business.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
In this case, you have where market price fluctuates. You don't have a set price. It's easier to say when it comes to goods, because usually the same good in the same market only has one price.
They got different, but like we do the construction, so...
Right.
Like,
service, yes.
That's why you explained this one to us, like in the summertime, because I know up to 50%. But for me, it's not 50% because I go up in the top of the roof. It's 200 feet high, it's very dangerous, and the repair is maybe $5. But to go up there, it's going to cost you $2,000, $3,000. Like you say, overhead, and that's why, you know, how you guys tell the guy, I come to do it for $10. We fix the chimney every year for the magic,
takes
you like $10 material. Yeah. But to build the scaffold and stuff, that's why I asked you last time too, same thing, we got different. You Like, suppose you got the $1 million equipment in the shop, and you pay, after you pay everybody, you have to make that 50%, except if I pay everybody and make 50% profit, I'll be very happy.
Right.
That never happened.
Okay, so in this case, what we have is the market price is not fixed. You have a fluctuation in the market.
We give the price.
Right. So you could say to do a job, it would be, it could be between $1,000 and $100. You have a huge fluctuation in the market, right? But the maximum is $1,000, the minimum is $100. So say somebody charges $2,000. That wouldn't be fair, right? So within the market, you have a fluctuation supply and demand, which is allowed in Islam.
Sometimes you lose. You put so many hours, so you lose your time. You lose money, but you lose your time. The money from thousands,
right,
if you divide it by the hours you work that month, it comes to you, yes, below the
income. The spirit of the law.
Are you saying, maybe we're misunderstanding here.
No.
Are you saying, let's say, for example, you provide a service, and you go look at the service, and you know that this particular job is $10. But you see the person is naive or ignorant, and you tell them it's
$2,000.
And the guy says, okay, you know that you've taken advantage of this person. Are you saying that this is incorrect?
That's right. That's the spirit of the law. That's the spirit. I mean, the percentage is
no.
The spirit of the law is that nobody should exploit other people's ignorance.
Oh, I see.
Yes, that's the principle, because it all goes back to the words of Allah, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Do not usurp, do not eat each other's wealth wrongfully. In the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ أَنْ تَرَادٍ. Sale should be with mutual contentment. So when somebody has been misled, somebody's ignorant, somebody, or even monopolizing, or somebody, they exploit the weakness of another person, then this, the contentment here, the issue of the riba, is not complete. If somebody has a regret afterwards, then it's not, there's an issue involved here where they find out something they didn't know and they end up regretting it. This will create ill feeling in the society.
Right.
And Islam aims to bring, make the laws of Islamic economics aims to bring about contentment with people. There is fair profit that people deserve, that they deserve the wealth of their labor. But the issue here is not paying somebody the work of the wealth of their work. The issue is that when something is sold, it should be done in a manner that doesn't exploit the ignorance and the weakness of a person. So, inshallah, hopefully that answers the question.
Supply and demand, actually, for obviously most bad in the time for us, Islam was an item that, nobody had it. And all of a sudden, that item went way high, and it went to Prophet Islam, said, no, this item is really expensive, you cannot afford it. He said, I don't control this.
In Allah,
exactly.
Allah is the one who sets the prices. So, Allah sets the prices in terms of supply and demand. Now, that's maybe what you were trying to get at. Supply and demand, the prices fluctuate. But say that in the market itself, in the same market, it's kind of hard when we talk about the services, but let's go back to the fruit. Say you go to a store, the apple in one store and the same apple in another store. And the market price in all the stores is, a dollar a pound. Somebody goes and he opens a store and he charges $10 a pound.
Somebody
doesn't know. Somebody, yeah, no, he just came in.
No, we understand that part. That's why I say, when you have different rates, you can compete, you can compare with the other things.
That's right. No.
So we don't make mistake if we charge somebody, sometimes, we charge, we give a price, we agree.
That's right. If there is a high demand for a service, the price is going to go up for the service.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. And that would be fair market price for that service. But the only issue that comes in here is, not to, what's prohibited is, taking advantage of people's grave need. Like, say people are desperate for something, and then somebody sees their weakness and their desperation, and he raises the price on them. They call this monopolizing or exploiting. So that's not you know, permissible in Islam. Wallahu a'lam ala ma yusbih. The last point, inshallah, going back to the riba, inshallah, we'll finish with this, is that the reason why riba, if we look at the what Ibn Rushd, he mentions in his book, Bidayat al-Mujtahid, is that why is it forbidden when we exchange two goods of the same category, we have to exchange them equal for equal. Because this is, if we do this, dates are dates. Wheat is wheat. Gold is gold. It's fair. But now when you start, if you give less or more to one person over the other, how do we know if it's fair or not? We don't really know if that's a fair exchange rate or not. So to close that door of people being taken advantage of by giving them less than what they deserve or more, this is, when we know the market price, we can figure out if somebody's been taken advantage of. But if I give you 1,000 kilo of my dates for 500 kilograms of your dates, we don't really know if this has been fair or not. We don't know the exact quality of that date and the other quality of the other date and what is the exchange rate. There's not something that it could be very easily one of the two parties was cheated. So Islam closed that door in gold, silver, foodstuffs, and the analogy goes to anything that's weighed, according to some scholars, and anything that is used, that is stored for a long period of time, according to some of the ulama, according to Imam Malik, inshallah ta'ala. And it goes back to the concept of preventing unfairness in trading. This is the wisdom behind it, inshallah ta'ala. And so basically, the exchange anything, any of these categories, equal for equal. Dates for dates, salt for salt, wheat for wheat, barley for barley, gold for gold, silver for silver. If you want to change the exchange rate because you think one is better quality or lower quality, sell it in the market for cash and then buy the other one for cash. This way it will be fair for everybody, inshallah, and that way there will be no riba involved, inshallah ta'ala. Any other questions? Inshallah, I hope that... Did I answer your question about the services? I don't want to leave you with something confused about it, inshallah. There is supply and demand in services just like there is with goods. That's there, inshallah.